The belief was that nothing really surprising happens in a New Jersey primary election. It's just a going through the motions type of thing to make things official for the November main events. Now, if that's what you thought, then allow me to inform you that you were really wrong. Quite a few results were surprising, especially for the candidates. Some of it was good news, other was bad. My first guest today joins us to review some of the New Jersey primary election results. He's a reporter with New Jersey Advance Media and NJ.com, Matt Arco. How are you today, Matt?
Hello, thanks for having me.
And, of course, you can read Matt's work at NJ.com. Let's start with the race for the U.S. Senate because, well, a couple of interesting points there. It was a higher turnout for Democrats than it was for Republicans, maybe because Republicans didn't think there was anything to go for. But you can, I guess, make the argument because the incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator, Robert Menendez, did win, but it was by a spread of 62 to 38%, with almost 150,000 of the votes going to as much of a no-name as someone could possibly run against. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, look, I mean, you highlighted the largest surprise of Tuesday's primary, which was this close spread between the incumbent senator and, you know, look, as you said, someone who's been described as almost a no-name. I mean, the Lisa McCormick was his Democratic challenger. She didn't, for all intents and purposes, even raise any money, considering that she hasn't filed federal disclosure reports. So, look, I mean, you have a case where, the sitting U.S. senator was on criminal trial. Those charges, didn't amount to anything. I mean, the trial went away, but he was severely admonished by his colleagues in the Senate. So you have a damaged, so to speak, U.S. senator going into a primary campaign where a lot of people voted for his rival as a just nothing else as a protest vote. It didn't matter who was running up against him for plenty of folks to vote against him as a protest vote. And the reason that they know so much about, Bob Menendez's woes is because his Republican challenger, Bob Hugin, is a former CEO of a pharmaceutical company who is coming into this race with a significant amount of money. He's a wealthy individual to begin with, so he's going to be able to lend his campaign a lot of money. But he's also going to raise outside money as well because Bob Menendez is seen as somebody who I'm not sure that national Republicans think that they're going to actually take him out of his position, but he's at least considered to be somebody with enough baggage that it's worth investing some money in Bob's race, Bob Hugin's race.
Well, certainly with the primary result numbers being what they are, it's evidently showing that Hugin's commercials are already working.
Right. So, but look, and this is sort of maybe if you want to take the Democratic spin on this, there is some merit to the Democratic spin, which is, look, Bob Hugin has been aggressively on the airwaves with anti-Menendez ads, and the Menendez campaign hasn't put up a single ad yet. So they are basically saving their money because they weren't expecting the primary to be much of a challenge. So they're basically saving the money for the general election. So if you think that, and the part two of that is that if you think that people, Democratic voters who are sending a message to Bob Menendez by, slapping him on the wrist, so to speak, will then switch over to a Republican candidate when we know in New Jersey this upcoming election is really basically about Donald Trump because he's pretty unpopular in the state of New Jersey, the Democratic leaning state of New Jersey. It's a long stretch to think that they will totally flip on Bob Menendez. And it's the case that a month out of the election that polling will show that that could happen, then there's precedence in New Jersey for an embattled U.S. incumbent senator to be switched out with another Democrat at the 11th hour to retain the seat.
Yes, even after the deadline, and the judge turned a blind eye to that, and allow Frank Lautenberg to go back in and Robert Torricelli to step on out.
Right. So that was precedent with the state Supreme Court. Agree or disagree with the argument, there is precedence there. And that was basically a month before the election. It's going to be a competitive and nasty race. I think now we'll start to see Bob Menendez hitting Bob Hugin with ads about, you know, how precarious deals or deals that pharmaceutical companies, you know, just the idea that I think there's an appetite for people to not always view pharmaceutical executives in the best of light. So, you know, I'm preparing for this one to be a very nasty campaign, and it'll be absolutely interesting to follow the polling from a month or so from now and see where that race is.
I guess a big mystery for the Menendez camp is how many of the Democratic and the left of center independent voters are going to instead sit on their hands, much like a lot of the far left Bernie Sanders supporters did when it came time to decide whether they were going to vote for Hillary or not.
Right, but again, and it comes back to the larger point of what this election is going to be about in the state of New Jersey, where Donald Trump has a 35% approval rating. The likelihood of having a depressed or suppressed Democratic vote in this election is not the most likely outcome based on the amount of energy that Democrats in the state and nationally are going to be pumping into this, pumping into New Jersey. Look, let's not forget, let's take the Senate race as an aside. This is for the first time in a very long time, New Jersey is considered a very important place for Democrats if they have any chance of retaking the House. So right. New Jersey, for the first time in a long time, has competitive races for Congress that we just haven't seen in decades. So, it's the idea that that being said, there's going to be a lot of energy in trying to get Democrats out to vote here, and that means a lot of money coming in nationally. So, I don't expect a lot of Democrats to be sitting on their hands in that. And even if they don't agree with Bob Menendez, they'll still be going to the polls more likely than not and casting a ballot.
So I'm Matt Arco from the New Jersey Advance Media and NJ.com. NJ.com, the website, obviously. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. On that related note, let's look at New Jersey 11, because you have now a Republican Jay Weber, who won his primary over a surprising second place finish by, strangely enough, a guy who offered to step out of the race if he was promised another a state job by whoever won, Peter DeNewville. Weber won that by 40-30 spread against Mikey Sherrill, who easily won the Democratic nomination. So you have a couple of interesting stories. You have Weber with a political story to tell, and you have Sherrill with a fairly interesting life story to tell.
Right. Look, so two quick things on this. This race and the other race where you have an incumbent Republican congressman who's stepping down. I mean, what we saw in this recent primary was that on the Republican side, county lines did not matter. So in this race and then also down south, the Republicans that got the backing of the Republican establishment in both of those areas did not end up clinching the election. And the rule of thumb in New Jersey politics is that the county line usually ensures that you'll get that you will clinch that election. But that wasn't the case in this. Now, in this particular race, I think that's two things. One, Jay Weber is a state legislator who is well-known in his district. And two, the people that are more likely to come out and vote in a primary on both sides of the ticket are, the party diehards. And Jay Weber is one of the state's probably most conservative lawmakers. And, you know, it's the people that are the diehard party members on both sides that come out in the primary. So sure. It's not totally surprising that he was able to clinch that. But then the problem going forward is that Mikey has an interesting story, federal prosecutor, Navy pilot. And now she's going up against a more conservative lawmaker, not as conservative probably whoever. So that alone probably helped Mikey out a little bit more. But Mikey is coming to this as not this is her first campaign. So this is something that Jay Weber knows how to do. It'll be interesting to watch that race, just because you have a political newcomer versus somebody who's been at this for quite some time and is known in his area.
And it's a district, too, which some are saying, if it hasn't progressed to purple yet, it's headed that way.
Correct. I mean, the fact that the Republican establishment were not able to get their person on the ballot is probably going to, as all things considered in this district, is not probably going to help them in this. But if Jay Weber's ability to campaign and hustle in the past is any indication, I mean, that could help him as well.
Got to wrap up with New Jersey 5, because as we've come to know, Steve Lonergan has never seen a political office he wouldn't want to run for. He has a small problem. He can't seem to win one of these elections.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's another interesting seat, but it's and that's the one race in the state where you have a Democratic incumbent where national Republicans are trying, will likely invest in that race to try to pick him off, because that's not a stronghold Democratic seat. However, Cook Political Report has that more solidly blue than the rest of the seats in the states right now. So, you know, that are competitive. So, you know, I don't know Steve Lonergan and the person that was able to clinch the primary are both sort of more outspoken folks. So it'll be interesting to see where that one goes. But, yes, this is another loss for Steve Lonergan, who, you know, was run for more than his fair share of political office in the past, you know, 10 years.
Do you think we've seen the last of him, maybe?
I that question was asked the last election he lost, and, you know, and Steve Lonergan has always popped up. Look, Steve Lonergan, if you ever, he's a charismatic guy, and, I would argue it's probably not the last you see from him. Steve Lonergan tends to be in the conversation.
You can check out Matt's work at NJ.com. He's a reporter of New Jersey Advance Media. Matt Arco, thanks for your insights today.
Thank you.